understanding of the public service promotion of the mandate to promote the values and principles of the Constitution is, in summary, in support of the public service and public administration to strengthen democracy, to ensure that the country can arrive at a point where it is said to have a meritocratic governance system with a public service that is a public administration that is development oriented. And some of these principles relate to, number one, the first one that comes to mind, is the promotion of a high standard of professional ethics, meaning that every public servant has to act within a set of rules and standards and high standards of professional ethics. Basically, my interpretation of that principle value is that the public service, at the end, the ideal is that it should be a public service that is professional in its discharge of its mandate to all government departments. The second principle that comes to mind is that the public administration should be development oriented. Now, my understanding in that regard, of that principle, is that I'm reasoning it from the point of view that says South Africa largely is a third world country, and therefore both economic and political development as well as societal development in general, economic development becomes the key to ensure that South Africa can also be counted among the developing nations. The third principle relates to the efficient, effective, and economic use of resources. That's the three types of resources that we're talking about: financial, the human and material resources of the state. Well, your question said a few. I don't know how far one has to go, but this. Okay. Yes, and the functions then of the Public Service Commission relate to the investigation of grievances, complaints in different departments of the different departments of government. They relate also to monitoring and evaluation of management principles in administration, as well as to promote a high standard of human resource practices in different departments of government. I also don't know if you need more of those functions.
Madam Chair, I will not ask a question at this stage.
The reason being was I see there's still a lot of members here next to me that will have to ask questions. And I'm also a bit sensitive towards the fact that the morning candidates we interviewed was more fresher than the one that comes so late. So I think maybe it'll be too unfair for all of us to pose questions. So I'll really reserve, but I'm listening very attentively. So when if there's a follow up to be made from the questions that from the responses, I will do so. Thank you.
I wonder whether members are they suggesting that those who are posing questions are being insensitive. I don't know by implication.
No, let's leave it there. Because the reasons that I don't think it's necessary for the reasons that you have put forward. You should have done what another was doing and keep quiet for the rest.
Good afternoon, sir. Very sympathetic to your tiredness, but you do have a responsibility. We have to deal with the transformation of the public services. We seem to have a vast experience in how we've been able to go through that. And there's the National Development Plan. There's ethics such as we deal with. Can you just do a linkage? Can you just link up this in relation to the performance of government? Out of your own experience, why is transformation not happening that much within government? Why are things going very slow? Why are you so much impressed that you'd love to resurface us? The Public Service Commission. You are creating good impression to you as a citizen of South Africa.
Thank you, Honourable Point. That is good job. Thank you so much.
To begin with, the transformation of the public service is a long journey that we all have to walk through. It's not going to happen like a instant coffee type process. It's dependent on a number of things. The growth of the economy in the country, dependent also on the ability of our government to be able to eat away the ever daunting task of unemployment. It's also dependent on the markets, European markets, the change and volatility in the economic sphere, and as well as the political way, as I would put it, and political development, both internally and externally. And so those impact on our ability to fulfill our desire for a 30-year national development plan and all its goals that it has. And therefore, this sluggishness of transformation is not as a result of anything else other than the fact that it is impacted upon negatively by various socioeconomic things that happen, which are outside the control of both government and the nation. As I have indicated, our national development plan is a long-range type of plan that has to take us 30 years. We have begun in a very small way as a country to achieve some of the goals, but it's not up to the satisfaction of every person who is who is committed into the NDP. And so, in short, it is my desire to still, after having spent some time in the public service and having made a contribution towards some of the programs of the public service that for which I was in charge over the time I spent in public service, to now at a strategic level, at the commission level, be part of the team that would be responsible for improving the public service core by ensuring that the values and principles of the public service are implemented, as well as the duties of the Public Service Commission are carried out in a way that begins to have a positive impact on the ability of government to achieve the national development goals.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mr. Konyalibaba, in your CV, you have listed quite a number of reports in which you and your support staff have been commissioned, and you have compiled, covering quite a number of government departments. In case that is the PSC office. And of course, we understand that the PSC is assigned with an advisory oversight role, which includes promoting the values of the public service and investigating breaches of procedures. The NDP recommended strengthening of oversight role of the PSC by requiring departments to implement this report. So with the experience that you have and the reports that you have compiled, how do you respond to the challenge that departments are not enforcing the or implementing the reports which you are submitting? What do you think are the causes or the weaknesses of the gaps that result in departments not implementing the recommendations? And furthermore, then, how can Parliament assist the PSC in enforcing its recommendations? And maybe then finally, what do you think should be done to enforce implementation of PSC recommendations so that your work is not in vain, those that you have done? So just looking at the extent of the work that you have done, the shortcoming there being that your recommendations are not being implemented, can you, from a practical and experience point of view, take us to what you deem to be the causes of the failure to implement, but most importantly, the corrective actions you have instituted and to deal with the shortcoming? Thank you.
Thank you. Please, you will remind me if I forget on the way. There is a debate that has been going on in the public service regarding the impossibility of this recommendation and the ability of the Public Service Commission to actually compel government departments to implement them. One response to that question has been the answer that says that the Public Service Commission can only give directions, make recommendations, and look up to government departments' political principles to implement them. And if they do not implement them, then the Public Service Commission, in its role of reporting to both provincial and national assembly, or parliament rather, then would report those departments that fail to implement the directions as well as the recommendations of the Public Safety Commission. And it is up to that rung of the value chain, parliament, provincial and national, to take the base norm and see to it that the recommendations are implemented. There is yet another there's yet another debate that says that the recommendations of the Public Service Commission, just like the it has been found in the Concord, that the recommendations of the PP are actually not recommendations, but departments and those that are in responsible position to implement them, they are actually instructional. There is also that understanding, which does not have a legal force that could be applied by the Public Service Commission to hold accounting officers accountable in terms of implementing those recommendations and directions. I think that the weakness is on the part of the powers of the Public Service Commission, that it can only, it has powers only to subpoena people with information, but it doesn't have the powers to force them, public service officials as well as government heads of departments and political heads to implement the its recommendations. Now, how Parliament can assist in this regard? I would imagine that perhaps Parliament should review the powers of the Public Service Commission in the Constitution and sharpen them in a way that would make the Public Service Commission be able to enforce the implementation of those recommendations. With the current type of power or the amount of power that the public service has, it would not be able to achieve this. The causes of non-implementation are not, I don't understand them to be basically the responsible officers of government and or political heads in government departments refusing to do so. But it is a question for me of priority. And therefore, I would not apportion blame squarely on the and say that the political heads and political officers are deliberately ignoring the public service's recommendations and directions. But I would explain it in a way that begins to say possibly priorities of government are just too many for office bearers to be able to carry all of them, and the recommendations of the public service then tend to take a lower priority rating in the exercise of their duty, as a result of which they tend to seem to be falling off the chair, or rather off the table, other than that being a deliberate attempt by the responsible officials and or the political heads not to implement the recommendations and directions of the Public Service Commission. I don't know if I have covered all the, you had quite a number of questions, and I captured the challenges, the weaknesses, and the parliament are facing.
No, I am covered, but I just want to, if I may, Chair, just
yes.
A follow-up.
Yes, sir, may.
Thank you. Around the issue of priority, I would want to believe that the PSC has invested time, energy, and resources into investigations and programs that, and looking at the instructive nature of the constitutional prescripts around it, that it cannot possibly be acceptable that, I'm not asking a question, I'm making a comment just on the basis of what I just said, that there would be a lower rung priority looking at the challenges which are there in public service. So if your diagnosis is just simply not a priority, for me that's an even bigger problem than just not enforcing it to begin with. It also speaks to the attitude then which is held about the PSC by departments and so forth. So that now raises red flags for me and concerns me very much if that is the diagnosis which you have.
Before you answer, there is also a follow-up from Honorable Nyani Bui.
Hello. You see, I'm the power that you demand for the PSC and how we relate the decision to the public protector decision within the constitutional court. I was looking for a system where there's every structure in government is beginning to have decision making power. And do you think it will ever work? Because I thought that when we structured it, how we structured the system, the fact that politicians and parliament made some of these decisions, or ministers in the various responsibilities make these decisions, that would be enough for a system that concerns South Africa. But given this constitutional court decision that seems to be influencing the view that you're holding, trying to say that this is a good answer to get implementation done, what really motivates link up to what is concerned for you to see that. That's everyone making decisions out of
it. Mr. Konda, can you start by actually calming the concerns by Honorable Tengwa and a follow up from Honorable Nyani Bui?
I think an example that I could cite to calm Mr. Stemwood's concern is that why I my diagnosis would be that the recommendations as well as directions of the Public Service Commission tend to receive a lower priority would be some of the constraints under which certain officials such as heads of departments work under. For an example, in one instance that I can recall, the finding of the Public Service Commission was that the appointment of a particular official in a particular department in a particular branch was irregular and needed that the department should show cause. No, not show cause, but the department should indicate how it intends to address that. And the response that was given by the head of the department was that this appointment was a special, it required a special type of skill that is not readily available. This is the department, the head of department explaining the rationale behind him flouting the appointment, recruitment rules. And asked what he's going to do about it, his answer is not on the how he's going to, what he's going to do about it. And his answer is, given the situation in which I was working, this is now, I'm quoting his words, given the situation in which I was working and the demands that this particular vacancy needed to be filled by this specialist person, I would do it again. That, to me, sends a message that says he is not necessarily deliberately saying I am stubborn, but he says I have a situation, an untenable situation, where I have a political principle breathing over my neck, and I need to achieve certain things. And in thinking as to how then I can correct this, I don't have a way of correcting it, but I will do it again, given that situation again, regardless of it being a violation of the rules pertaining to recruitment and placement in the department. This is what I then called reprioritization. It's him who's reprioritizing. We are saying there's a violation, that there's a breach. But he says, yes, I accept there's a breach, but in the situation in which I'm working, I would certainly do this again, given that my principal wants to achieve XYZ, which in his view is much more important than ensuring that he follows the recruitment and selection principles laid down in the department, as well. Now I'm coming then to, with that example, also transposing that example to the question that has been put before me. One of the things that I think the Public Service Commission's mandate lacks is to basically go to an extent where the decision maker would take punitive action, so that there should be results when these recommendations and directions of the Public Service Commission are not compliant with. And this is the part which for me is slightly lacking, in that the recommendations are made, the directions are given. However, if an official and or a department does not follow it through and does not in them read that there may be a punitive action for him or her, that part then is for me a bit of a gap. I am also very mindful of the fact that I'm not looking for a situation in my presentation. I'm not looking for a situation of policing and or putting people into jail, but just that realization that there may be an immediate negative result for me if I don't, if for instance I reprioritize and say I would do it again, that person should realize that I have a choice. It's either I comply in a manner that still fulfills the mandate of the department, but not look at an option of saying keep on. That's right. And not look at the idea of saying I will do it again, given the circumstances under which I'm working. And that's the point where I feel there's a little bit of a gap, which would require that particular injection of a negative impact on the person. That's the point. taking the decision. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I almost can say good evening, Mr. Kunzumanu. Mr. Kunzumanu, you did a master's degree in development studies. Long before you did a master's degree in development studies long before the term developmental state and so on was coined. But still, this is in South Africa what we often hear, that we need a developmental state. And the public service needs to support us becoming a developmental state. What do you believe is hindering currently our move towards that developmental state in terms of the public service? And what do you believe that the Public Service Commission can do to support the public service in our strive to become then a developmental state? Thank you.
Sorry, you could just repeat the second part of the question.
The second part is...
The first part is what do you believe is hindering the public service from supporting that move towards a developmental state? And the second part is, what do you believe can the Public Service Commission contribute or do, you know, to change the public service in order to support this notion of developing a developmental state? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. My summary of the first part is just to look at inhibitions of the development of developmental states, and then what the Public Service Commission can do to assist in the achievement of a developmental state. Part of the challenges that we have in South Africa is to ensure that, let me first paint a scenario. There has been quite a number of changes in some of the challenges that the public servants in South Africa have had to grapple with as a result of the change in leadership in our at top leadership level. For instance, we had our first president, President Mandela, who had to grapple with certain things. Just highlight one or two. The first one that he had to grapple with was the issue of legitimacy of his government, and the second one that he had to grapple with is the issue of stability in his government, and public servants or the public service administration has to support those drives, and you needed a special type of public servant to do that. Now we did not have a preparation for the public service to be able to inject to be able to work and support that type of political drive. We then, after Mr. Mandela's presidency, we had then the Thabo Mbeki presidency, which itself was...
Sorry, can you just be direct to the session of the Honourable Member? The Honourable Member was just want to know the contribution, the PSC contribution towards the development of state, and having the knowledge and the masters, then what do you think it has been done towards, what can be done towards helping developing a development of state? Just zoom in.
Okay. I was trying to give this background to basically then to zoom to the question, to the answer to the question that says the Public Service Commission, in its role at the moment, in terms of supporting the developmental state, should in its work advocate for change of the type of public servant that needs to be able to see the desires and the needs of the state and be able to understand developmental concepts in the manner in which that those developmental concepts and their operationalization will speak to the goals of government. The difficulty that, or the challenge that I see is based on the fact that the education system, tertiary education level, is not itself much more geared towards developmental state as we would like to have it. And that becomes a challenge, because then you have a government that is absorbing students from tertiary institutions that have been that are qualified in public service administration issues, which are not in themselves still by there, not in itself addressing itself to the issues of developmental state. So you've got a disjuncture between the government's needs on the one hand and what the education system is able to produce and inject into the government. Now, what comes into mind for me as to what the public service can do is that perhaps the Public Service Commission begins a debate in which the issues of a developmental state becomes a focal point or part of the ongoing debate in its engagement with all its role players, including its partners with which it has MOUs, so that there could be a chorus of advocacy for developmental state needs, as well as people that are calling for developmental state drivers in education. That would then translate itself to the government being able to get the type of public servant that understands issues of developmental state.
Thank you. Honorable Mwabe.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Dr. Mhlengas. Chair, I don't have a question. Has been covered on the responses from previous questions. But I just want to have a clarity on your CV, Dr. Kunjwa. Your last employment, according to your CV, was 2014, when you were the head of the Public Service Commission in KZN. Now, one wants to know what is your current employment, except being the chairperson of advisory board in Mangosuthu University of Technology, which, according to CV, is a voluntary position. So one wants to establish what are you currently doing. And lastly, you also say that at some stage you manage the union building, including Mahlambandlu. I just want to know whether you are responsible for the where they manage the office of the president, or maybe you were heading a certain unit there. It's not clear in your CV. Thanks, Chair.
I'll start with the last one, Chair. This is the management of my Mahlambandlu is in relation to my appointment as a regional director in the public works department, National Public Works Department, which was responsible for all state properties throughout the old throughout the what we called as the, oh, I forget the old name, but it brought together the Gauteng province and Mpumalanga, northern province, not Eastern Transvaal.
Yes,
it was called Transvaal. Yes, my function was responsibility as a responsibility manager. I was responsible for those provinces which were called the region, and then within that region, you then had the prestige accommodation, which is Mahlambandlovu, and part of the estate in Mahlambandlovu and the and the surrounding area in Mahlambandlovu. That was called prestige accommodation. And therefore, management of Mahlambandlovu is highlighted in my city because it was a sensitive area, which was in the spotlight of media all the time. And at one point, a decision had been taken to renovate it. And that those years, it was 5 million that was supposed to be spent. And the department had a lot of flack from the media, saying that why should it be received that amount of money when there are so many people without housing, et cetera, et cetera. So the highlight that is on the basis of it being a very sensitive area in the type of operation that I was doing, that I was responsible for. Last point of employment, because you got it right. That's when I reached an age where the government says when you are at that age, you can then
65.
Five, yes. That's when then you can go and have a rest. But I'm still here and I'm saying I'm still alive and kicking and energetic. I can still do a couple of things for government before I actually retire into the retirement that no other person would like to experience, especially those that are still fresh.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Wilma Nuro-Titochen, and my sign language interpreter, who is my voice, is Armand Kreinschmidt. I want to ask a question about financial disclosure. Can you explain how you view and understand and how it works, that is, financial disclosure? And a challenge with the PSC is to achieve a very high compliance rate to that. How will you intensify, from the PSC point of view, to achieve a high level of financial disclosure within the public service? Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Can you, Chair, could you just remind me the first part, financial
disclosure? The first part is the disclosure. Oh, you can do it yourself, right?
Thank you. Just an explanation from your side, what you understand financial disclosure to be. How does it work? That is the first part.
Well, financial disclosures, I understand them to be disclosures where a person has financial interests. If the person has had, is working for government, especially at directorate level and above, and has companies that may, in the course of time, conduct or find themselves tendering for business in government, the rule is that every person has a right to have a company, but if they do have a company, they have to disclose those companies. Actually, they have to request for permission from their principal, political principal, to first of all have companies. And then if they get those permission, then they can disclose it so that the company would be known, and it is also the idea that a company of a an official or an officer in government should not do business with the same department in which the owner of the company works. That's my understanding of it. The change and the achievement of a high rate of financial disclosure can be facilitated by conscientizing all public servants that in whose types of work this type of this type of requirement applies, and if they are conscientized to make sure that they disclose, because the issue is just to disclose. It is not that the person wants to say they should disclose something is going to happen to them. They just need to disclose. So if they can be conscientized that there is nothing that is detrimental to their career in disclosing their financial disclosure, I think we can, the Public Service Commission can get a high rate of returns in ensuring that the financial disclosure, in fact, all public servants disclose their financial interests in the businesses that they own, the number of businesses that they own, and so on. That's my understanding of the financial disclosure and how it can be improved in terms of its rate of return.
Thank you so much, Doctor. I believe that was the last question asked by honorable members. From my side, Tandu Kojwayo, I would like just to tell us a value add in terms of that will bring if you are successful in this position, before we just conclude the business of the day with you.
The value add comes from the experience that I have. I guess I have experience that I would call dirty hands experience. Reading through my CV, you will have realized that there's quite a number of projects as well as programs that one has had the privilege to drive that have made a positive impact into the lives of our people. I'm thinking in particular of the what is called now the Extended Public Works Program, which is the flagship of government at the moment, addressing issues of the poorest of the poor, especially in rural areas, as well as urban areas, of course. But my heart is in ensuring that these programs can be effective in, specifically more effective in rural areas where options of survival are the most minimal. So I bring into this work that type of experience, which I call the dirty hand experience. I also bring into this level of operation the grassroots experience. I think Mr. Shema did mention the number of reports that have been part of drafting and putting before the Commission for their approval. That experience to me is an invaluable amount of experience that one brings in from the grassroots to a strategic level of operation. And so as a value add, that to me is very critical for commission type work. And of course, another value add would be the sort of interaction that one has had with fellow employees and officers, as well as commissioners of the other Chapter 9 institutions, the memorandums of understanding, as well as the exchange of types of cases that would fall outside the ambit of the Public Service Commission. To, for instance, the Public Protector and or the other gender commission, or the AG, for that matter. And one is bringing also that type of grassroots experience into a strategic level of the operations of the Public Service Commission.
Is there anything that you'd like to ask or comment you'd like to make to the panel before I just sum up in terms of the way forward?
Not really. Not really.
Thanks so much, once more, for availing yourself and the patience that you have demonstrated. What is going to happen moving forward now? You'll hear from the administration whether you're successful or not, or whether there's anything that the panel will need from you further than what the way that you have presented yourself. And you'll hear from them in due course. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you, sir.